We are always grateful to have the opportunity to inspire and encourage others to serve. And in one of the witnesses that of what we do is that we pray. And prayer is, I'm going to be doing a series on this, obviously, as we prepare for Easter. Today is a preparatory message for that. And the simple question this morning is, how does God communicate with us? How does he communicate? What is prayer? And that was really the text, as we saw it this morning in Luke chapter 11. The disciples came honestly saying, teach us how to pray. In fact, they actually asked Jesus, teach us like John's disciples. How does John's disciples pray? That always made me wonder, what were they thinking? What were the disciples thinking about there? And I'm impressed with a number of things about communication. And I heard this story about, I didn't even know we had Danish astronauts, but there was a Danish astronaut in the that was communicating with our astronauts. They were actually participating, and they were having communication problems between Houston, which is the central place for control, right? NASA's there, and he was obviously working hard at his station, and then something happened. He was pushing buttons, and it accidentally connected to the 911. Think about it. There's all these satellites floating around the world, and he connected to the 911 service here in the United States. Because when you dial 9, but if you get if you don't put the 0 in, you don't actually make the connection. Somehow he connected, and he then got an email. And Houston goes, "Why is he getting emails? He's in space." He got an email going, "Did you call 911?" And it made me think, you know, is 911 the only time that we try to get connected to God? Is that how we approach prayer? Is that the only way God communicates? When we're down to nothing else, when I have nothing, no other choice, I just pray. Now, I think it's a good time to do it, but I'm wondering, is that the only time that we want to pray? Well, I would suggest this morning that we don't want to make that the only time. I think there's other places, and actually prayer works in a much different way. It actually is that relationship that we've been talking about. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, Luke tells us earlier in his gospel. He just said he withdrew. He observed. Luke observed Jesus pulling away from the disciples and thinking about how God spoke. And it always makes me think about how Jesus, the Son of God, he was fully God. And you've heard me say that many times. Jesus was fully God. So why did he need to withdraw to lonely places? You ever ask that question yourself? Am I the only one? I don't think I'm the only one. Jesus, I believe, chose to withdraw to model his need for a relationship with his Heavenly Father, for a connection, to get connected. He withdrew, and he had a lonely place. And a number of times in the Gospels, I'm thinking of, and maybe you've read through the Gospels or you've been in Bible studies and you've seen Jesus use those words, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Remember that little comment that the Gospel writers, Jesus would say that himself, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear." It was actually a prophetic statement that came from the Old Testament, but it actually leads into the new, is that the openness, if we're not open to it, we don't see it. Prayer sometimes is sort of like this, withdraw to lonely places. I didn't know you were make tents this small. I think somebody played a joke on us. But I'm thinking how challenging prayer is. We've made it complex, and if anyone here doesn't feel qualified, join the crowd. Nobody's qualified. And if we're Americans in every way, which most of us are here in the room, right, we do the thing that all Americans do best. We compare ourselves. I'm not good enough. I'm not like this person. Have you ever been in a group and somebody's praying and going, "Man, I can't pray like that. I ain't praying." You know, there's that point where you're saying, "No, that," and we've gotten ourselves into a little bit of a challenge because we're not allowing God to uniquely use us, because I believe that God uniquely speaks through all of us. Prayer is different for all of us, and it starts with the first C I want to suggest. I have three C's I want to suggest today. And the first one is, it's really about conversation. Dallas Willard was my mentor for prayer, and he had this statement that he would use. And it always shocked me to the core because I never looked at it this way. And this has been about, and I'm still trying to figure it out. Prayer is talking to God about what we, and of course I capitalize it because that's where that connection is, and that conversation begins, we are doing together. What are we doing together? That's what a conversation is. What are we going to be doing together? What is it that you are up to in my life? What is it that's going on? The psalmist says, God plans endure forever. His purposes last eternally. If that is true, if we believe that, and I believe that, then we must discover it. Notice prayer really needs to be about we, right? We together with God, working together to have that conversation. Once Jesus was in a certain place, we read that earlier. As he finished, one of the disciples came and asked, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. There must have been word on the street, isn't it? There must have been word somewhere that John's disciples were praying, and they're going, we're not quite getting it. I like this part of the New Testament because it reminds us that nobody really had it together. There wasn't this magical potion that you had to push a button. No, it's just a conversation that begins at a place. Martin Luther says it this way, and he said a lot of things about prayer, but if you dive into it, and again, it was a lot of years ago, but it changed the Reformed Church into thinking about prayer in a new way. He says, I use the Lord's Prayer as the very best prayer, even better than the Psalter, the Psalms, which are basically the book of prayers, which is so very dear to me. It's one of the reasons that I hold on to the fact that I want you to know the Lord's Prayer. We use it at both of our services just because I believe that when you're in a place, no matter what place you are, you can pray that prayer and you're not bad off. It's not that the prayer is magical. It's the core of the prayer that begins with, Our Father who art in heaven, you are the one that I'm calling to. I need help. It's 911 right there. I'm connected to you because you're the great God who cares about everything, my daily life, along with starting point of saying, if I'm going to forgive, I gotta forgive, right? It's in the prayer. And if we can't pray that, we're not living it. He goes on to say this, it is surely evident, and he closes it, and he says a lot more. I've condensed it, believe me. If you ever read Luther's stuff, it's like, oh my goodness, how could somebody write so much? But they did. But he said this, it is surely evident, and this is true when we read the Gospels, it is surely evident that a real master composed, think about that, composed and taught it. It was the fact that Jesus was living it. And isn't that the most inspiration that we can have? It is a conversation. But secondly, it's the matter of connection. That part of the prayer that we pray. It's in the text that we read earlier, but it's also in the prayer that we deliver. May your kingdom come. We just pray for the kingdom. We pray for the work in the kingdom. We want the kingdom to come even soon. And we pray for it because we know it has a point. Jesus was teaching on it at verse 8. It was that story that Jesus tells about going to your neighbor's house. And if you're there long enough knocking, somebody finally will come to the door, right? And at the end he says, I tell you, though he won't do it for friendship. Notice that. He said, it's not about being a friend. It's just because you keep knocking on the door. You won't stop. And if somebody doesn't stop, have you ever had anybody knock on your door in the middle of the night? They don't stop knocking. You finally got to answer this thing. I've had that happen. You probably have. Maybe you've had it happen. Maybe sometime. Maybe you haven't. That's okay. You said, I'm not opening the door. I've taught not to. Okay, I get it. But we think about it. It is that persistence. And then at the end, he says, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of. And at the first hour, the fellow that read it said, I had to look that up in multiple translations. I couldn't believe that was in the Bible. Shameless persistence. Is that truly in the... That's actually, if you go to the Greek, I won't bore you with all that detail, but it is interesting that it's just obnoxious persistence that gets attention. Have you ever known someone that's obnoxious? Yeah, you probably can. Don't name a name. But there's probably somebody that is obnoxious, and you finally just say, oh, let me just get it done. And that's that persistence. We have to keep connected back to it. Keep on asking. We read in verse 9, we go on. And you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. If you want to seek breakthrough, Rick Warren talked about that in the message, in the video, about how to seek breakthroughs. We have to keep looking for it, and you'll find, right? And then keep on knocking on the door, and it'll be open to you. And, you know, the doors don't easily open for some of us. We wonder, you know, we're persisting, and we wonder, when is that door going to open? We knock, and how does the door open? I remember being in one of the first small groups that I was ever leading. I was a leader of a small group, and it was a bunch of junior high kids, and that's always an adventure anyway. But it was that group of kids, and I made the mistake of asking them to pray for my mouth, because I didn't want to say words that I was continuing to say. I was a college student, and I had a vernacular, and I had learned this vernacular, and I wanted to relearn a new vernacular. And they thought that was so funny, that they could pray for their leader. They thought it was funny. And I'm thinking, this isn't funny. I don't want to be like this. But I believe the power of God, and I'm going to trust you guys that you hold me to it. It was amazing how that shifted their attitude towards me. I had never thought of it that way. They were giving me a bad time. Now, they had become my advocates. It was very funny. They would call me on it. Oh, Bob, we see this. You're going to lead it into something else. And it was always been a lesson to me that if we're willing to be open, God has a way of meeting us and saying, okay, I'll help you. If you keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Lastly, it's a connection. For everyone who asks, receives. Jesus said these words. Everyone who seeks, finds. Great little funny I found this week. Turns out that whole when God closes a door, he opens a window thing isn't so helpful on the 14th floor. So always believing in the promise isn't always good if it's 14 floors above. And I find sometimes we give people all kinds of little snippets of things, but I would ask you to think about, what does it mean to have a connection, a real connection that is not just trusting, okay, well, I prayed the Lord's Prayer today, so you should just do what I asked you to do. No, I don't think it works that way. Because as I've kind of demonstrated before on a number of occasions, is there's times where we stand at the door and the door doesn't open. It's like our nose is in the door. We're asking, pray, Lord, open the door. And we just keep pushing our way in and our head hits the door and it hurts. And we don't get the answer. I'm going to talk about that next week to lead into the series. Why does God say no? You know, the scriptures are full of illustrations of people honestly praying, and God said no. It happened to Jesus himself. Jesus prayed, and God said, no, this isn't the right time. Remember those stories? Is this the right time, Lord? No. You see, even Jesus got that answer because that is what God was up to. To everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And the point here is we may need to find another door that when we just persist. We've got to keep going till we find a door that will open to us as we persist. That will create the opportunity for cooperation. Then this point about Jesus. At the end of Luke's gospel, at the very end of his life, Jesus has these words, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Where is Jesus at this moment? Right before he's taken to the cross. Not my will. I don't think Jesus wanted to go that way, really. You go back and read the gospel stories yourself and you'll see. Did really? No. I don't think he projected it to be that way. But he knew that there was going to be a way that God was going to reveal to him. So it was cooperation that we see at that moment, and it leads to something even more. Dallas Willard again says it this way, and I appreciate it. He said, don't seek to develop a prayer life. seek a praying life. Praying. What does that mean? An open conversation. In fact, I remember hearing him say, and it was always curious to me, that he would say, if you're going to practice the ways of prayer, such as, say, fasting. So if you are fasting, he said, nobody should know. Nobody should know. Why? Because it's not about you telling some people. It's about you getting in connection with God and cooperating and being open, if that is the tool that you're using at that moment. Because that's what fasting does. It's just turning me, focusing me, because I'm saying, you know what, I'm going to push out one thing so I can totally be dependent on you. Don't seek a prayer life, seek a praying life. And I wanted to close the message with having you think about one of the great prayers that the Apostle Paul gives us in the book of Ephesians. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. I sometimes don't have the boldness and confidence that I'd like to have in prayer. But then this prayer of Paul says, no, I want you to come with boldness and confidence, trusting in what? Trusting in my promise. I know the promises that, like the psalm has there in the scripture, that reminds us of his presence. As Dallas Willard says, a praying life is a life that is saturated with prayerfulness. In other words, it's just a part of the conversation. It's a part of the connection. And it's a part of cooperating. You seek to do all that you do with the Lord. It's like the rain that keeps saturating the ground. At a certain point, it's just a part of what's going on. And it becomes a part of our life. And we don't even know that it's happening. We don't feel guilt. We just feel confident. I'm going to go to the Lord confidently. As we see Paul's prayer, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you through the inner strength through the Spirit. You see, it's not about us. It's about the Holy Spirit that meets us in that place with unlimited resources. That's what what his prayer says. Unlimited resources he will empower. Unlimited. That's what cooperation is. Connecting with the power of his Spirit. One of the people that had a profound effect on me, and we use his little pamphlet called My Heart, Christ's Home. Robert Boyd Munger was the author of that. He was one of my professors. And I remember him talking about what is faith. And in that little pamphlet, it's the best published or the most published little booklet that University Press puts out. He talks about the heart, about where Jesus enters the home of the heart, and it's in the living room, it's in the kitchen, it's in all the different places of the heart. God wants to penetrate not just the study, not just in that place, but all parts of the place. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. That's the prayer of Paul. Christ will make his home in the heart where it's saturated. Saturated with something far above us, where your roots, the prayer goes on, your roots will grow into God's love and keep you strong, deeply working to get you full, and you will have the power to understand. Isn't that what cooperation is? And to know, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep. Where do we grow our roots? Into God's love. He promised it to us. Unlimited resources. We have it available to us. This prayer is always a prayer. It's one of those that you can put on, you can yellow mark it in your Bible. Actually, today's age, you can just print it out and put it on this card and just keep it with you because it's a reminder of God's unlimited resource to us. Why? Because it leads us back to the one thing that makes a difference. We can ask. We can be shamelessly persistent, knocking on the door until God answers, because we don't give up. We don't give up. We keep asking. There's another testimony. I close with it now. It's just this comes from John. All the gospel writers have helped us here because they speak to the simple point that when we seek and we knock and when we ask, we are sure that God hears us if we ask. Notice the if. If. Do we forget? Yeah. There are times. We just might, I was trying to do it my own power. It was my pride that got in the way. But But if we ask him of anything that is according to his will, he'll provide. He has unlimited resources to give us wisdom and guidance. But we must ask, ask, ask for his unlimited resource to enter in, to put roots so that we can know the depth, the length, the height of his love. Lord, we are so grateful for your incredible love. We're grateful for prayer that is that point of connection where we can just talk with you and you talk with us and we realize that we're on the same team working together, pulling and pushing and realizing that we, in that moment that we ask, experience the cooperation of your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit that empowers us. Lord, thank you for being there for us. And we want to be confident, confidently going to you, our God, who has the power to change our hearts and minds and souls in a way that others will know that we're different because we're connected to you. We ask for your presence and your Spirit to guide us each and every day. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.